Everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. We are here this week going through the episodes one after the other with me, myself. I'm the I guess resident Transformers geek. We have Ed here who knows Transformers, but it was never something he got into when he was younger. And we have Jehu with us again, who is the third fate, as it were. You kind of came back to it, so you know you're familiar. You grew up with it. And we're going to get checking out every episode as we are, going each one, trying to see if it was like full of tropes or if it's just, you know, if it actually had real world consequences. And I really mangled the intro. So let's just get this thing going, guys.
Well, man, let's just hope that this one didn't have any real world consequences, because this would be terrible to happen.
The worst real world consequences. Of all time, so,
100%.
However, I will say that that one real world factor that crept into my life today, actually, is I was listening to Jehu's other podcast, The Real Phonies, and you mentioned how silly it is when people say the woke agenda anymore, and it makes as much sense as saying the cowabunga agenda. And I just want to out myself and say that I am officially on board with the cowabunga agenda. I am 100% part of the cowabunga agenda.
You are part of the cowabunga dude elite.
I am. That's my platform these days. Is anything cowabunga related? I'm a cowabunga enthusiast.
I'm gonna need like a your symbol that y'all you know gather around. I got to see what it looks like.
It's just a pizza. Just a pizza with some swords on it, maybe.
I'm glad you brought that up, Ed, because it feels crass sometimes to plug, but I am really proud of that episode. That's one of my favorite episodes we've done of the show.
That was a really good episode. You guys covered the new Superman movie, which I haven't seen yet, but it looks really good. I really want to see it, and it looks like a big breath of fresh air. And I'm on record saying that I just don't really care for the state of superhero movies. Because I think a lot of them are kind of overwrought and really, really boring, and they waste too much time with superheroes not wanting to be superheroes. And you guys said in that bit, they're like, man, there wasn't as much like Clark Kent in this as I thought there would be. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. That's Superman doing Superman stuff the whole time. I want to see that. But you did say in that episode though, and this is something that I kind of latched onto, that you were like, man, you have a bad like recency bias. You know, when something new comes out, you're like, that was amazing, because I have the same thing, because I said I was backed up by some comic book luminaries on this that I'll tell you who they are in a second. But when the Ben Affleck Daredevil came out, I was like, that was great. That was so good. I cannot believe how good that movie was. And I was at a comic convention. I met two of my favorite comic artists of all time. Like, actually, I'm going to go ahead and say my favorite comic artists of all time. Talked to them about it, and they were like, they made a better movie than Spider-Man with a worse character. And I was like, I agree. And in hindsight, I'm like, no, that was not a better movie than Spider-Man. And Daredevil is actually probably a better guy. I actually probably like Daredevil more. But it was the Hernandez brothers that said that. It was Gilbert Hernandez said that.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this about Daredevil. We did an episode about it not too long ago. I don't know when. Time is flat circle. But it is so, like, if you want to remember a time, watch that movie. It'll remind you of that time. It is the soundtrack. It's that time where the 90s are done, but we haven't quite figured out what the oddies are going to be.
I've said before that really the most perfect 90s movie actually is Mallrats, because Mallrats is a movie that when it came out, I loved it. I was like, this is hilarious. And it's, you know, it's kind of, it kind of speaks to, you know, where I was in my life at the time.
Right.
And, like, after a point, I was like, this movie is terrible and played out. Tired of people quoting it. And then I came back around and I was like, that movie became an accidental perfect time capsule.
Right.
Oh, yeah. 90s.
Like Richard Linklater couldn't make a better, like, look back movie at the 90s than that movie was at the time.
I mean, Kevin Smith is a great way to prove to white dudes that representation matters. Because, you know, like, we just loved those movies just because that was us on screen.
Yeah, because, I mean, like all of us, like, worked bad jobs in the mall. We all, like, it was the most important thing was to go to the other mall and buy stuff you didn't need.
Stereograms in the window.
Oh, you know, I I took my son to my favorite restaurant, and on the wall there, they have an old stereogram, the magic eye of Star Trek. And I had to explain to my kids what it was, and neither one of them could get it. They were just completely lost. And I'm like, it's a Klingon battle cruiser. And
God.
I felt like the biggest nerd on the face of the
Just stare into it and blur your eyes.
earth.
It's a schooner. Yeah, then that it's kind of weird because like I was just thinking when you were talking about that, like looking at Clerks, aside from the hairstyles and the clothes, I mean that's actually like a kind of timeless movie
Yeah.
of like nerd sitting in a store.
Man,
Right.
I'll say though that the clothes, those clothes were dated when that movie came out.
Oh, yeah,
Like
they're all poor.
when I first watched it, everybody was like, man, what are they wearing? And I was like, and now that I have very good friends that grew up in New Jersey, I'm like, they're like, oh no, that's just how everybody to this day still dresses. Even those older people watching up there.
So
But
yeah, okay. Yeah, then of course everything else. But like yeah, like I think the problem I have with like Mallrats is became kind of a pair of clown shoes after a while, and then like I haven't watched it in years. Probably enjoy it more now.
I think that Kevin Smith fans kind of are one of those things that kind of poison the well on Mallrats for a long time. Because
Right.
I had a guy that I wouldn't even call him a friend because he got mad at me and won't talk to me anymore. Faked amnesia to not talk to people anymore.
Do I know this person?
I don't know, but
Okay.
he like worshipped Kevin Smith, and like to the point where he just wore hockey jerseys every day, and he was like an amateur filmmaker and all this stuff, and I was like, man, this like it, if this is what being around Kevin Smith is like, that's just unbearable. I couldn't handle it.
The thing that Kevin Smith did that I respect most, and this is genuine, this is not me doing a bit. He's admitted, hey, I'm not as good as I used to be anymore. I can't write as well as I used to write. I don't make movies as well as I used to. I like so many people won't say that, hey, I had a thing for a while and I kind of lost it. But it happens to a whole lot of artists.
Yeah,
He
that's
might be the only guy I can think of who ever just said that out loud.
I think that's one of the most endearing things about him is he's self-aware. He's self-aware how bad the comedy was. It doesn't age well. He's just self-aware that his stuff just does as you know, it's not as good as it used to be. I'm one of the few like Chasing Amy apologists. I think that was a good movie.
It is good. It's the best movie he's done. It's the best movie he's
I
done.
mean that's the most solid movie
Yeah.
of the movies,
And it was a thing that, you know, kind of spoke to us in our 20s. Because I think that's how long ago it was. Because we've all done stupid stuff like that. I'm not going to give away the plot of that if you haven't seen it. It's only like a 20, 30-year-old movie. But, yeah.
So I tell you what else dumb thing I did in the 20s, and I can't even make a good bridge to Crim Zeke. This episode is called Crim Zeke. There is no funny segue that I can do on this, except for maybe that sounds like a sneeze, and I don't even feel like working right now.
I'm telling you, I was telling y'all earlier, it's like a fever dream, this whole episode. It's
It
so
is.
weird.
It's sort of like the spiritual brother to the Viper is Coming from G.I. Joe.
You shut your mouth right now.
I love that episode.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying they both are the only completely solid, like just comedy episodes.
Oh,
And
yeah.
they both feature the characters just running from one disaster to another.
And they kind of feature. Not the best characters either. And you know, I know Bumblebee is one of the most popular characters even now because of the Bay movies. He, Blaster, Inferno, and Optimus Prime are a terrible group up. I
These
hated
guys have
them.
no chemistry.
Well, what was weird is that this is a later season 2 episode, and they really kind of went back to like launch era, like mostly like launch Transformers, except for Blaster. It was
Yeah,
mostly like
probably mid-season. I bet you this could have been a mid-season episode. They just played it out of whatever order.
well,
That's
it's
why I was surprised when this one was up next, because I thought this had came a long time ago. yeah, unfortunately
Well,
not.
it's I think you're right. I think you're onto something there, because the Hasbro Pulse YouTube channel has it like it's numbered episode, like 48 or what, 47 or
45.
whatever,
Yeah.
but it's way further up. It's like in the 30s as far as like the, so I think it's one of those ones that was like made and like aired out of order. But
Yeah, it
this is
kind of well, it kind of fits that weird lull in season 2, like as far as the story wise goes.
Yeah, it's a David Wise episode, and we talked about David Wise 7,000 times on the show, and I don't see any need to. This dude wrote like he wrote like I think he's done more episodes of the show than anybody else. Because I think I've said this is a David Wise episode. We've talked about this dude in the past, so we'll skip over. I think I've said that more than any other single phrase on this on this show. So.
I did a slight bit of research on this. It's based on a preconceived notion.
I love
And I was
the
wrong.
Okay.
I was convinced that the writer of this, which I didn't know beforehand, David Wise, would have also had to have written the Amazing Spider-Man episode, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends episode, Video Man.
Oh,
Which
okay.
was the same episode as this, basically.
Yeah.
The powers are so similar, what he does with the powers are so similar. Not completely different writer. However, David Wise apparently did recycle this script a few times.
Oh, yeah.
He did it on He-Man, he did it on Turtles, he did it on some show called The Mighty Ducks that I just found out today. There was a show called The Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks, like the hockey thing?
And no, you would think that, but no. They're more like TMNT Ducks.
Really?
I think they might have still been in some way inspired by the Mighty Ducks movie because they kind of look like the logo on
Oh,
their
okay.
shirt. But yeah,
My
this had
son's wearing
nothing
a
to
Mighty
do with
Ducks shirt
Video
right
Man, which was disappointing to me because I love Video Man.
now. Well, I'll tell you, you're straight on there, man. This was a cycle from an David Wise writing for He-Man's episode Day of the Machines. This is the same script he recycled in the Transformers Day of the Machines and Microbots. So this is a recycle three times episode. So just give you a little hint there how bad it is. But good.
Really intrigued by this Mighty Ducks thing though, because I there was a period where I really really liked Turtles knockoffs. Like I'm a big like Turtles fan, but like there was a point where like I had a I probably owned more issues of adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters than any other human being on the face of the earth. And like I liked that book a lot. I thought that book was actually pretty good because it was a good parody of Turtles.
That sounds like something they do a ever watch Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc.
No.
Good show, fun show for adults to watch for like we grew up Scooby-Doo. They will do things like they'll make mention of things with like they are uncopyrighted just so they spell out some weird convoluted alternate name for something. And it cracks me up every time they do that. So yeah, I love that.
There were so many of those turtle knockoff cartoons. Like they were
Street
like, pick an
Sharks.
animal, pick a fighting style, make a cartoon.
Yeah, that was like beardless boxing breeder reactor badger or something was one, or gerbils. I think they were gerbils, but like that, like the yeah, there was God, there were like, but yeah, there was like you couldn't turn around like in the early 90s without seeing like some like fifth tier like independent publisher putting something out like First comics who I liked First and Pacific and all those Comico and all those guys, but like yeah, there were just so many of them coming out after a while. But like I don't know, the hamsters one are I really dug. If you ever get a chance, check it out. Sam Keith actually did the art on the on a good chunk of it too. Who went on to
Oh,
do
right on.
yeah who went on to do Max and like a million other good things, but
Co-creator of Sandman.
and co-creator Sandman, who used who coined a line that I've used several times, where he said that he felt like he left that book because he felt like he was Jimi Hendrix playing with the Beatles. And I've used that line like several times. And it was that like I had a I back when I waited tables, I had a like a I worked in a fancy restaurant. And I was like, I feel like Sam Keith working with Neil Gaiman or like Jimi Hendrix playing with the Beatles. So yeah. So let's get into this
Yeah,
episode.
let's do that.
We start out with Megatron's running like a giant machine, and he's just making like an electric face. He has like these diode things. He's making an electric face. It looks kind of like one of the monsters from the video game Berserk. You guys remember
Yes,
Berserk?
it does actually. So yeah, like this whole thing, he like Starscream walks in and he complains about them using the electrodes. They need to for their electromagnet, which I don't know why they can, can't like use the potato and a set of like copper wire to do their electromagnet. But yeah, so for the script, this is like it suddenly leaps out of the blaze of golden electricity onto the edge of the platform, a tiny demon made of glowing supercharged electricity with red hot eyes and wide leering mouth filled with lightning bolt teeth. It cries out defiantly, Crimzeek.
Dude, this looks so stupid. Like, the second I saw this, I was like, we're in like a second rate Scooby-Doo episode. looks like a 70s Hanna-Barbera thing. It looks like one of those gimmick things where, like, hey, instead of a sentient dune buggy or a sentient dog in this one, we're going to have some electricity that's going to come out of the nerd's computer. And it's going to be their friend. That's exactly what I thought when I saw this. I was immediately like,
there are some really great things in this episode though that made me enjoy it a lot more. But go ahead, Jehu.
One of the things that I noticed right away is I had a preconceived notion about this that was wrong. I thought Crimzeek was stuck in the Pokemon quandary, which is, is the only thing they can say their name, or are they named after the only thing they can say? But he can say other words. The first thing he says is yummy.
But he doesn't say anything else again. That's the only thing
he says.
No, he later says no.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And also says choo choo.
He says choo choo, correct?
He's like, a 3-year-old.
We're going to get into that. So, man. So, but the whole time that he's doing stuff, he makes lightsaber sound. They just lift the mm-hmm. lightsaber soundtrack from like New Hope, right. And it's just the clashing sabers behind him the whole time. Soundwave, though, when he's talking, he makes Atari noises. And it's Atari, all an Atari can do is make a beep and a piece of static, and it just you just play those over each other and together in different sequences to make the Atari stuff. But he actually had like the Atari soundboard like sample pack going on there. So
So yeah, man, like they are really cool with him, like Crimzeek getting into their computer console and just chowing down. Of course, right. Dan Yummy. They're cool with it. They're like, yeah, man. Megatron catches him like a hummingbird on his finger. Oh, you'll be my new ultimate weapon.
And that's the second first of all, right there, like, man, we're lowering the bar for ultimate weapon. We used to build devices to bring planets into our orbit to destroy the world with tides. And now we're like, oh, there's this thing that kind of scrambles stuff. This is my ultimate weapon.
I don't even know what it does yet. He doesn't know what it does, and he's all like, oh, that's going to be my ultimate weapon. It's kind of like when you hear like the first half of a song, and you're like, this is my new favorite band. And you're like, you're like, no, that's Jane's Addiction, dude. That's not good. Right. So they put him in a box. They put him in like a VCR, basically. And
it's like they made a Faraday cage all of a sudden out of circuits.
Right.
Yeah. So, but he tasks Thrust with dropping him off, which is like the most spotlight Thrust has ever gotten in this show. Really.
You're not
it's
wrong.
Like, hey, man. Hey, buddy. I have a special mission for you. Come here. Not any of them could have done this. Megatron mm-hmm. could have done it. He can fly. But he flies up on. Like the Ark, the Autobot base, he's so close. He could have just flown into the door, and they don't know he's there.
They need a ring camera.
Man, here's what I thought today, and I don't know why it took me to this episode of the series to think. Why have the Autobots never considered a door?
Oh, we've talked about this.
In
season one, we talked about the door, and I think every episode.
I feel like a door could fix like 60% of their problems.
Well, they have, and they even touch on this in this episode. They have what I call the villain cam or the hero cam, where you can just turn on a giant screen and you see a place and the camera follows around or whatever. And I'm always like, how do they do that? But they explain how they do it in this episode, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But the thing is, I'm like, you got a radar? You got a new, a jet flying at your door? He was 5 feet from the door. Like if that happened now, my dog would be going insane. If it, it was like a robot airplane outside of my door.
God, yeah. They need a little chihuahua living there.
Right. So he drops the thing off. So Crimzeek hops out of the VCR, and then he jumps into a security camera. Like, could you have angled it up to see a jet flying at your, like, right. I wonder why that jet's flying over here.
It's a fixed camera. It's like an old fixed camera from like a little hallway, you know, like it would be like something from War Games, where you have like a big box camera sitting up there on the top of the ceiling to catch anyone who happens to walk by it.
Got the Metal Gear Solid cameras that
Oh
play.
God, yes.
Yeah.
So he bounces around and goes to the camera and it comes out of the screen where Optimus Prime is watching this whole thing happen. So right now, I love the fact that we're completely leaving physics out of this. He goes from the camera through the hero monitor, the giant CRT.
It's fine. You assume it's all wired together. He's electric. It's kind of like Electro in Spider-Man. He can, you know,
Yeah.
he like he can touch like a wire and then he can
Yeah.
just teleport wherever because he's like he turns into
But
electricity.
I blinked and I missed it.
Works. What's that?
I literally blinked and I missed it. I go back and watch it again. Like I it's been a long time to watch this episode because it's not good. Spoiler. So I haven't watched this in a long time. I was sitting there typing a note. I'm like, well, why is he in there with Prime? And I go back, I'm like, oh, because I did blink. Literally, he went through the camera. Okay, cool.
The wire. It works,
Yeah.
but spark plug. Spark plug. Where's he been? Where has he been?
He's been getting a new career. He's been journeyman something else that he only has like three or four careers. But so he goes through the keyhole. It's like a little like touchpad thing to open the I guess to open the door or whatever. Goes right through it like it's nothing, like a light tunnel. Pops out, and there is like God, it's like it's Jazz, it is Hoist or Moist, whatever you prefer, and it's smoke screen with spark plug out there. So one day we'll have Ed come back, but
My dog
I know.
like will like pop the door open because it
I
doesn't
know.
latch doesn't catch, so he pops the door open, and so I close the door, and then I'm like, oh, well, come in, and he's like, he'll just stand there,
Yeah,
and
he's a
then I'm like,
dog.
okay, so I close the
Yeah.
door, and then the second I sit down, he pops it open again, and back and forth and back and forth, so I have to just like basically drag him
It's
into
like a cat in a closed door.
I had some animal interference earlier that I wonder if the audio is going to pick up, but I thought I had sectioned myself off from all the animals. But my one cat who has a voice like this came in the room and said that to me four times and then left.
I
So
didn't hear
I hope
stuff.
the microphone picked that up.
Maybe we'll check it out. No, so yeah, he goes in there and spark plug's hanging out with those three guys. And
Right.
I mean, they're the one thing in the scene that stood out to me the most is that is not Scatman Crothers.
Man, the thing is, okay,
Ooh.
the four most recognizable voices in this:
Yeah.
Prime, Megatron, Starscream, and Jazz.
Yes.
I know there's parts where voices speak out of other things, and it's just things were done in a hurry. That's fine. You can't do that with Jazz. You can't have some redneck come out of Jazz's voice.
It does. It sounds like Ironhide trying to do jazz.
Yeah,
He's
exactly.
terrible.
That's what Inferno has. Inferno always sounded like that? Because I think I was like,
He
is that my accent?
Always has kind of a southern vibe, but in this, he's really kicking like a sort
cranked
of
it up.
Slim Pickens kind of thing.
He
Yeah,
was
he really
about to
cranked
start writing a country song while he's going around the base singing stuff. I just the
it
his twang and the things he was saying, like he's composing country music.
Right.
So Crim Zeekla is so he's like jumping from like he's jumping into the Transformers now and making him go haywire. But you know what though? Okay, let me get back to my dog for a second here. Okay, you know when you, God, this might just be me, but you know when you take your dog for a walk and he poops, sometimes he gets a little piece of poop stuck to his butt, right? Or a lot of times, like everybody in my house has long hair, like all of us have long hair. So my dog ends up like ingesting hair a lot of times. So sometimes when he poops, it's like a piece of poop, and it's chaining. It's like nunchucks. It's like Ninja Turtle nunchucks with like a piece of hair, right? And he's stuck, and it frustrates him, and it freaks him out. He doesn't know what to do, right? So, or sometimes you guys have cats. Sometimes your cat eats the tinsel at Christmas.
Oh
Remember
no,
when we did tinsel? We don't do tinsel anymore, but you know
my cat ate yarn.
or
I had
yarn,
to
yeah.
get scissors.
But you know, it comes out and it strings the poop together, right? So when this happens, they freak out and they sit down and they stand up and they sit down, stand up, and they go in circles and they sit down and they stand up over and over again. And that's exactly what Smokescreen was doing here when
No, no.
transform back, transform, go to circle, transform back. And he looked like he was trying to get poop off his butt.
Before he does that, though, he's like, he puts spark plug between him and Crim Zeke. He's like, you first.
He did.
And spark plug tries, he grabs it. He's like, oh, I've got this energy demon in my hand, cool. And then it's actually, oh, I'm electricity. Let me start shorting, and shocks him. And he says, like, boy, don't fool around with electricity, but somehow says, boy, are fool around electricity. So here we go for lesson for today. And what was there was did you remember the there was like this electrical mascot during the 80s? I think it came on WGN a lot.
That little dude, that skinny dude with the
I
toy
think
on his
so. What was
finger
his name? Do you
and
remember?
the yeah, I don't remember. Like
Okay.
Mr. Spry, I think it was
There
Mr. Spry.
was also a local one for Gulf Power, but I can't remember his name either.
He had
You
like
know,
a
it's
big round
like,
nose,
no,
and
it was Louie the Lightning Bug was the
oh, Louie
local.
the Lightning Bug,
Oh, I
yeah.
forgot about that dude.
Oh, you forgot?
I remember now. Now I remember all the songs too. The you gotta obey what those signs say. Remember they had the Louis Armstrong
Yeah,
guy
stuck in my head now. Thanks.
don't put the key in
Sing
the
a
song, don't
Louie.
put the
Yeah, so that happens. We get a little lesson on electricity. And then Smokescreen goes to having the poop on his butt.
You guys watch the now. Now watch it now. Without it, you're only going to see
The
poop on butt now.
evil thing is he finds a wooden table somewhere in this giant ship that's crashed into this mountain where metal creatures live. He finds a wood table to hold up in front of him. And I'm like, not a terrible plan, but it burns right through it. You know,
You
he
know what? That kind of maybe answered a question I always had about Spike and Sparkplug, though,
Huh?
which is, do the Autobots keep snacks around for those guys? And I feel like if they've got a wooden table, it's so that Sparkplug and Spike can have snacks.
There's
So
a deli
that's
tray up
nice of
there.
those guys.
Yeah, there's definitely a deli tray on that on the table. Good
Craft
call. Good
services
call.
in there for those guys.
So there is this whole thing where Ratchet like busts in like Smokescreen. You gotta watch your smoke or whatever, say something like that. And he's doing the whole transform, stand up, turn into a car, thing spin in circles. And there's this scene where Crimson flies out and sits on the shoulder. Ratchet looks at him. He looks at Ratchet, and they just like, oh, and he jumps to his chest. There's a split second of like, what's up, buddy? What are you doing here?
That was bizarre. But so everybody goes, and he pulls the same thing with like every he's doing like a pirouette. He's
Yeah.
possessed, he's like pirouettes. It's like he looks like one of those like Pentecostal dudes that like get the Holy Ghost in them, you know, and they're doing the dancing and all that. But then he jumps to Teletran One.
Well, he goes through a bunch of Autobots first. He
Yeah, well,
like,
they all kind of get the Holy Ghost for a minute,
yeah.
and
But there's this great little scene though when Optimus Prime is in that room and he puts his ear to the door. He's like, oh no, he has not left the room. He knows that there's a giant or a giant tiny electricity demon. He's staying in the room. He's like, nope. Not going out there. Sparkplug comes and shoots him with foam, I guess, is insulating foam. That's when he dances. He goes and sees all the Autobots, and they're like, at once, Inferno, Bumblebee, him, and Hoist are like, Teletran won. Like, oh no, we forgot about the most important thing in the ship. And
right,
then,
which they'll do again.
oh yes.
The funny thing about when Sparkplug Optimus Prime is just he must have been on his robot period in this episode because
He
he was
was
having
not
none
quite.
of anything when Sparkplug squirts him with the sealant. He basically is like, is Optimus Prime going to have to choke a plug? Like, you know, he's like he is not happy with him. It's pretty great.
Yeah,
Oh God.
the whole episode. He was like that the whole episode. You're absolutely right. And this is where he goes to
Yeah,
Teletran.
he's our starts garbling Teletran one.
He's like strokes out, and he's just saying all this crazy stuff. Like the world's charcoal supply is dwindling, and
Yeah, as we talked about before the podcast, that was actually a reference to 1984, where the radio, a guy on the radio is like, "What in the world?" And it says, "Choco rations down to 2 grams, double plus ungood," which is from it's a reference to this the paragraph from 1984. For the moment, he had shut his ears to remote noises or remoter noises and was listening to stuff that streamed out of the telescreen. Here, there had been demonstrations to thank Big Brother for raising chocolate ration by 20 grams a week only yesterday. And so, yeah, it was basically a reference to 1984. I'm like, oh, they actually thought about stuff in this episode. That's cool.
I'm glad you guys like researched that because I was totally gonna come in here and make a real jerk of myself because I thought it was a Brave New World reference, you
I
know.
mean,
Same general vibe,
Yeah,
but you know.
I don't think anybody would. I don't think anybody would like fault you for that, because it's. I mean,
No.
like everyone likes to say, "Oh man, everything's so Orwellian right now." I'm like,
Yeah.
"When's the last time you read 1984?" Like, well, I mean, I never finished it, but like, yeah.
I mean the most predictive piece of science fiction about where we are today is The Running Man, and I'll stand by that.
Oh yeah.
I watched that the other day, and it's fantastic. The only
It
problem with
is such a great movie, and
it is very
Richard Dawson is such a great villain.
he was so good in that. The only thing that I think is that it doesn't really that it was kind of off the mark. And I swear to God that somebody said this on a podcast I listened to recently. It might have been like Marcus Parks or somebody like that. But I think the one thing that was like it's like well that's kind of like well is everybody watching the same thing. Because nobody watches the same thing anymore. There's
That's
no like
true. That's
event
true. That's not a
television
thing
anymore like that.
anymore.
That's just
Well,
basically.
I don't know. I kind of fail at making a point about state-run media, but that's also my tinfoil hat wearing self about that. But still, one of the best lines in any movie: "Once sub-zero, now was the total zero. What is
Plane zero.
plane zero?"
Plane
Every
zero, yes.
time I hear that, I literally
I made that
smile.
joke the other day talking to you guys because
Oh, you did.
I
That's
did.
right.
I did
I
because
thought about it.
I finally found a drink called Strong Zero, and I was like, somebody should have made a better one and said your
Plane
Strong Zero is now Plain Zero. But
zero.
so anyway, they explain how the hero and the villain cam work here though, and I appreciated this detail. This is that so Krimzeek like disappears and he shows up on TV, like they're watching him on TV, and they're like, oh well, like Sky Spy or whatever his name is, the little roving
Yeah,
satellite thing.
satellite.
He was there, and so they're like, oh, maybe he just like transported through him. And I'm like, so I was like, so that's how they see everything, is they have a little drone
All right.
just go film everything.
Right.
And like, because it's like every cartoon has that. Every cartoon villain has that screen. They turn the giant screen on, and it's like, but it pans with like, oh, they see like Lex Luthor sees like Batman walking through a cave. Like he's perfectly in sync with him, you know? And you're like, how does he see that? Like, is everything wired for a camera for bad guys, for the super villains, Legion of Doom?
But he ends up in Japan on the beach.
In Japan. Oh, you know, there was a new bumper here during for the commercial break. There was one with Thrust
Oh, nice.
that I had never seen before. Yeah, there was one with was it Astro? Was that his name? Astro, little
As a
green
train?
spaceship.
Oh,
Yeah.
Cosmos. Cosmos.
Cosmos. Cosmos. It was one of
Cosmos.
Cosmos.
That one's one of my favorite bumpers. Oh,
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
he
he lands
like
on the
that
planet,
flips
turns
around and
upside
stuff.
down.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that one before, but I had never seen the one with Thrust, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't need to see him anymore because I've watched so many times, so that's kind of cool.
Krimzeek's voice is officially on my nerves at this point. I am done with this dude, and I need him to go back into the VCR. So they're in Japan, and they're chasing him around a little bit, and he jumps into a bullet train, and they're like, oh no. And dude, this is where this episode really, for me, just really went off the rails, and it
Just
gets
now.
wiggly like a noodle. Like it's not just like going crazy and going fast. It's literally like jumping off the tracks, but it's turning into like a giant like snake, like an S or whatever. And it's like it looks like a silly cartoon. It's not like a like it's like a it turns into more Hanna-Barbera is what it's
Yeah,
more like when you rev up the car and it stretches out whenever you hit the gas. It's what it was real silly. I did not enjoy this. So it takes off, and
yeah.
Optimus Prime and them they're gonna stop it. So they go. Optimus Prime goes. He goes to transform, and he goes, "Hang on, like brother, they're all cars too. Like they can also drive." And so they all hold onto the trailer. I mean, Blaster is the exception, but like Bumblebee there. Bumblebee can go just as fast. Like
Blaster is a boombox. I can go in the cab.
Right, yeah. Why didn't he just change into a boombox to get in the crowd? He could have enjoyed the ride.
Pin that, because that's going to come back later on, because Optimus Prime does not slow down for anybody in this episode.
No.
No, like this train is leaving the station, Marines, and if you're not on it, you better grab on, or you better pull like a 1930s gangster move and hold on to the running boards.
They tried. So actually, we missed the whole thing here where they get Omega Supreme to fly them to Japan. So they took a rocket to Japan. Like I was thinking, I was sitting there like getting bored of the episode, thinking like, oh, they're missing great Ramones reference here. That would have been awesome. But they took a rocket to Japan, end up on the beach with this little Japanese guy fishing, and they rush out of the thing.
Yeah,
Hey.
this was a total like, hey man, just put him in the episode so we can like we haven't seen him in a while, and we need to move that
Yeah.
toy because it's like $100 and nobody's buying it.
Well, but the whole thing where they're like, okay, we got him. He's here in the sand, and they all of a sudden realize like, oh no, we didn't spray a Mega Supreme. You didn't spray your taxi to Japan, and so he flies like, oh, Omega Supreme, fly! He flies, and Crimson catches him, of course, and does the whole
And
corkscrew thing into the sand.
he crashes into the sand right where he took off, right where
Yeah,
he took off.
just
And then he
perfect.
jumps into, and then he gets into the bullet train. But
Yeah, now we're back up to where there was this arcade that they
oh,
get.
hold on,
Oh, yeah.
there's more before the arcade though. So Optimus Prime in this never has a plan. It, like earlier on, they were like,
100% does
Optimus, what are we
not.
gonna do? He's like, I don't know. Like I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is this. And now they're so he's pulling like the Wile E. Coyote, and they're like, Optimus, what are we going to do when we catch the bullet train? And he's all like, I don't know. I haven't had time to think of a plan. Like, brother, you were made of plans. That's the whole thing. That's the
Right.
whole thing with, like, even if your plan is just transform and roll out, he's always got that. That's like,
Right.
that's his uno
That
reverso.
is that plays into something later on the episode. I don't know if you remember or you caught it or not,
I don't
but it was
know.
so patronizing.
I think I know what you're talking about, and it's rude.
Wait, oh yeah. So Crimson jumps off the train. He's like, look around, kind of disappointed. He sees a walk man.
There's somebody carrying a wall. Oh, there was a little inner segment here of the Decepticons, and a giant spiky ball came out of the ocean.
Yeah.
It was like a Warhammer weapon coming out of there. It was like
Oh, it looked like a
weird
morning star.
kiosk that came out of the ground. It was like a morning star.
They start
Yeah, so
testing out
that
there.
was the poor dude had a was wearing a Walkman. Right before that though, so the bullet train pulls into the station, and the conductor, who's got this really cool mustache.
Twirly mustache. I was like, is this
Mustache.
some French Terry type guy?
So he gets out of the so he's getting off the train, and he runs into there's a giant woman in a geisha outfit with she has E. Honda's hair from Street Fighter. And he bumps into her, and she's mad. And the thing is, I thought they were gonna go, you know, the 80s thing where like the dude like falls into the woman and gropes the woman, and she, rah! You know, they do like a giant fat woman, and you know, she beats him with a purse. I thought they were gonna go through that, and they didn't, thank Christ. But she says, and I was curious when I heard it. I was like, wait a minute, let me back that up. She says, Choto kyo syo te go, which means watch where you're going in Japanese.
Oh,
I
very
looked it up,
nice.
and so I was like, oh, it's pretty cool.
It's like it's such a weird episode because it's like sometimes they look like they're trying really hard, and sometimes it's David Wise refreshing a script he's on three times. So, I mean,
Refreshes a
yeah,
bunch
if
of
that was
random references.
Hanna-Barbera, it would have just been gibberish. It would have Oh,
just
yeah, that's
been
true.
Quasimodo de Haiku, you know?
So, is this where we get to the arcade? I seem to skip
Who was
something.
the bouncer at the arcade? Did you catch
E
the?
Honda?
It was naked E. Honda was the bouncer at the arcade. He was full blown naked too, which isn't the this is not the last time we're gonna see somebody naked in this episode.
So, there's a katakana on the outside of the arcade. It actually says game arcade in katakana.
Oh really?
Once
Okay.
again, they did a little effort
Wow.
here.
Well, I mean, it was like an Asian company animating it. I think that's if there's one thing that is going to be correct, I would assume that they're just
Yeah.
going to write four with curly lines.
Good point, good point.
Oh.
So yeah, in this arcade scene, they cut a lot of stuff out from the script. Like he's going to go to a fighting game, start shooting different characters with lightning or whatever. And then he's going to go to a bunch of pachinko machines. Every time he yelled Krimziki, popped one and jumped out and went to the next one, and balls would fly out and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, can they cut all that out? That was supposed to be in there. Yeah, there's a ton of like they love some pachinko machines in this.
I don't think that American children would have gotten that in
Oh
the
no.
'80s
Probably why they
time.
left it
I
out.
don't think it would have gotten fighting games back then because those weren't a thing then. But because all you see really is like pole position, and like
Yeah. Right.
everybody knew pole position. Like that's
Well, then like we have they're getting ready to go in and Blaster like, man, this is stupid. What we need is a plan. Optimus Prime is like, fine. Have you got one? And Blaster's like, oh well, first we catch him. Bunny, that's my plan too. Man, he is pissy.
This is also the point that I thought, and then I would think this for every other thing in the show, every turn it takes. Why didn't they just glue the box back together?
Okay, thanks. I was actually wondering the same thing, so. You put it back in
like
the
you know the
cage.
one box that could hold him, why didn't they just put it back together and then put him in the box?
There's also like a refreshment stand where apparently a pretty Japanese girl in a waitress uniform ducks off as Crimson bounds in, diving behind the counter. An instant later, Bumblebee runs in and the drinking dispenser blows up and showers him with orange soda. And then does the same thing with the popcorn machine. So at least we didn't get all that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like some clown shoe stuff from like an 80s. Actually, kind of feels like something you'd see on the Monkees TV show.
I love the Monkees TV
Oh,
show.
I do too, but it's not this.
No. But the so they end up going into Crimson goes into an electronics company
A
and
bull in a china shop.
bull in a china shop. Yeah, because I'm like, oh, that's the worst place you can be. But this is just a factory that all they make here is red television sets. And which is cool, which is very cool because back in the 80s, Sony had a whole line of red electronics, and they're cool. Like they have like a full like stackable like rack stereo system that was it was all red. I'm like, where did we go wrong that everything became like, because you know you had like in the 70s you had like silver, everything was silver and that was pretty cool with the wood grain on the side, that was cool. In the 90s or in the 80s everything turned like in the mid 80s everything got black and like and that's it. And then like there was like that brief period, you know, before at the last gasp of stereos where it was like brushed aluminum and light like the maple. That was that was real nice. But where did we go wrong? Like red, it was so cool. And it like give me the clear back. The clear, remember the late 90s when every Nintendo variant was clear? You know, you can get like clear orange and clear green. Give me that. Why can't my laptop? Apple, give me a clear laptop. That was cool. They
Well,
made clear computers back then too.
yeah, the clear apples, and now Apple is just everything looks like it's on the Death Star. Or also remember those clear phones that had neon in them that would light up when they would ring? Why don't I have a cell phone that's that?
When I moved out on my own, that was the first thing I bought was I went to Radio Shack and bought that. And I was real mad though that with the neon, you had to have a separate plug for it. I didn't have an extra plug there, so I could either plug in my answering machine or the neon.
No, that sucks.
I had to have my answering
Make
machine.
a
So
choice.
yep.
So yeah, they go in there and they see all these exploding TV or no, microwaves and like I don't know what else like it was, but he was going through like a line of microwaves blowing them up as we're leading out into like the manufacturing arm thing, and they're all in there looking around trying to figure it out. And I would say typical Japanese scientist engineer guy comes down the stairs. He looks just like the guy, like kind of like the guy. Sorry, from the episode with the robot ninja
The
chick.
ninja bot, but it gets, man, like, so of
It's
course
bad.
he's very honored to meet the
Like
Autobot. I'm
the
like, oh my
just like
God.
the first thing he says, it's like a Sunny episode or something. It's like Charlie trying to talk to a Japanese person or something.
No.
It's so
I
embarrassing.
got this.
Well,
No,
they
don't.
kept calling him Yoshikawa-san. Optimus Prime called him Yoshikawa-san the whole time. I'm like, this is like some like Long Duck Dong bullshit. Oh wow, I just dropped the first S bomb on this episode, or on this entire show. Yeah, it was real, but it was real. Like, oh God, are
It
you
was
kidding me?
bad.
Like this is like, and I'm like, yeah, it's 85 and all that, but like, man, I
If
guess my
only this is.
5 years are just like, man, this ain't gonna fly.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Long Duck Hong at least got a laugh. This got a laugh from no one. This didn't get a laugh from a 4-year-old.
And if this was the most racist thing left in the show, I'd be okay, with you saying that.
No,
No.
it's not. I'm surprised he didn't pull out a
No.
samurai sword or oh, pull out my father, Honorable Shuriken,
Oh,
Chinese star
Optimus Prime
sarcasm.
Son, I must kill myself for my honor. No, nothing like that. I'm glad. So yeah, he Blaster comes up with this plan. He's gonna use oh no, he Dr. Yoshikawa-san uses says, hey, we should try something else. And Blaster's like, I got radio waves, we can do this. And he transforms and like starts doing concentric radio waves out towards him.
Starts shooting lines out, yeah, circles,
Yeah,
yeah.
and the Crimson Zeke doesn't like it, but starts going like approaching, getting a little closer, and jumps in.
And then we get, you are crazy? Good thinking. No,
Oh, bad
bad thinking.
thinking.
So,
Oh.
So the subtitles were, though, good freaking and bad freaking.
So what I want to know is why did Blaster's protective coat just go away?
I don't know. I was
It
wondering the
wasn't
same
on the
thing.
ins it wasn't on the inside because he opened up the cassette hatch
Oh, I
and
gotcha.
they
Well,
only sprayed him on the
still
outside.
later it will go away.
Well, yeah.
The point you're talking about, Jehu, is there was a really nice. They dropped a little. This is coming later. If you blink, you missed
It's
it.
Chekhov's Crim Zeke.
It is. It totally is. But if you blink, you miss it once again. Oh, so they. Starscream, they all gather the small, Crim Zeke's all together. They make they at the power plant, and then it forms all a giant one, which now you got instead of a bunch of small ones that the blaster, pooped out. You've got a bunch of giant ones walk down their street, and the same time, Starscream goes full hog with the energy magnet, which is the dumbest name for a weapon, by the way, and drains all the energy in Japan, probably elsewhere. I don't know.
Here's my thing, what I've decided after this episode, and I'm going to be looking for it from here on in. Bumblebee's a double agent. He's a spy. Because he immediately knows it's called the energy magnet, which is a dumb name no one should think of.
He did get reprogrammed in one episode. Maybe he
He was
never.
immediately like, this is like some kind of energy magnet. Oh, really, Bumblebee? Is it like some kind of an energy
Trademark.
magnet? Some kind, yeah. It's like in like Conan stories when he's like, "What manner of sorcery is this?" I'm like, "Does it matter? Just like, is that gonna help you if you know what kind of sorcery it is? Some kind of energy
Speaking
magnet,
of
yeah."
sorcery, they're all low in energy. Blaster's like it's 200 miles offshore. Really? This Sky Spy up there is telling you where it's at?
He's got like the he got like the sonar, the radio waves or whatever. You
Does
can figure
he?
it out. Yeah, you can figure it out. Like,
It doesn't matter.
dude,
It works.
Optimus Prime, once again, he needs to go somewhere, so he transforms and he just like burns rubber and like Dr. Yoshikawa had like jumps onto the side and grabs onto the handle while they're just while he's just like he's probably going 30 miles an hour.
At least.
At
And yeah,
least.
they like Blaster's like, hey, how about we go and we take Crim Zeke and send him back to Megatron with that radio tower over there. This is when Optimus Prime very patronizingly says, Blaster, you finally came up with a plan. I was like, isn't
If
that sweet?
I was, this was before that. This was before that, though. Or this
if
was this.
I was
Wait.
Optimus Prime, I mean, if I was Blaster, I'd be like, plans are your job, fool. Like, I play tunes and sometimes rhyme.
No, I think we skipped ahead a little bit because there was some cool stuff here. There
Oh.
was the there's like a bunch of Crim Zeke. They split this Crim Zeke like splits into a bunch of little ones. He turns into tribbles.
Oh, yes. He
Right.
starts
They're all
coming out of
different
blaster.
colors. Yeah, this but they're coming out of a billboard that has a giant neon woman on it that winks. Like she it's just like it's like the like the two different neons and it's like whatever, like, which I really miss those kinds of signs and billboards. Those were very cool. It's like,
100%.
well, I mean, in Pensacola, we used to have a giant one over on the west side that was it had a giant can of Coors on it, and there
That's
was like a
right.
smoke machine in it that looked like you were opening a can of beer, and like the fizz was coming out of it. You guys remember this billboard?
Vaguely.
Yes,
I grew up in Warrington, so
it was over in Warrington.
yeah, I
It
grew up in
was in
Warrington.
Warrington. Yeah, it was really, yeah. You guys have any favorite billboards? Any cool billboards?
Man, I don't know. I hate the one that had that lawyer's office. They put Santa hats on him on the interstate. I know I hate that one. You know what I'm
Oh,
talking about?
yeah. Well, there's that one lawyer one in Pensacola that has a giant action figure on it. He's like a 20-foot tall action figure. If you're
Oh
going,
God, I haven't seen that one.
yeah, it's yeah, I can't remember exactly where it is, but yeah, I see it all the time, and you see it, and you're like, oh, there's just a giant dude painting on it. And you get closer, and you're like, wait a minute, that's an actual dude. It's like a giant statue of this guy.
God, that's terrible. No, I can't even think of anything special that jumps out of me anymore. I've gotten so desensitized with LED billboards. They're just like there's no imagination anymore. Probably
Right. Yeah.
cheap as hell.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. I don't know how anybody sells anything anymore. The advertising used to be so much more clever.
And also the billboards, the LED billboards, they're up there like 5 seconds. You look at like, oh wait, oh, and it's gone.
Oh
So
man, I
unless you
hate
spin
that because
around
every
again.
now and then it's like it's like oh that was a like a like the one time there's something I want to see like oh an announcement for like there's some like music festival or something that I probably won't go to but I'm like oh who's playing that I don't care about that I can just talk trash about in at the fairgrounds or wherever so like also like this kind of segues into the next part though is that like I'm on record on the on this show like loving when they draw like city backgrounds like
Oh,
I
yeah, right.
love city backgrounds in these shows. I think they're great. We get literally the best sign in the history of Transformers. We get it's a giant movie poster. They pan down. There's a giant movie poster of this not Godzilla in this called Pojoni. And dude, this poster has a giant, like fat Godzilla. It's like the dragon from like the D&D movie. This dude is he's fat. I mean, he's corpulent. He's massive. He's got a big
Right.
gut and he's hanging over a building. He's so fat.
Okay.
And there's some dragons flying around him, and this is cool. And he's breathing fire on a city, but like the fire segues into like this poor victim of raising his arm up, so it's like melting the guy's arm. And then like, but there's like to the left of this, there's like a man and woman, and like she's made out of clay. Like her face is just looks like it's just like clay that's been outside all day long, and she's just everything's drooping, like she's had a like double Bell's palsy or something. And
Oh.
dude. This dude's glasses are like he's from like Eraserhead or something. He's got the thickest glasses on. He's like Molman from The Simpsons. This
Right.
is crazy. But across from them, there's a full-blown naked woman on this billboard. Naked woman on this billboard.
I
Jesus.
did not catch that. I'll
Oh,
go back and
she's
watch
like,
this.
I had to pause it. I was like, man, this is a Godzilla billboard. This is cool. But I was like, more I looked at it, the more there's a naked woman. She's in like that. You know when you see like a tiki woman, you know she's on that on the beach, you know she's like you know kind of got her back to the camera, you know and that you know like she's it's demure, but it's still
Right.
like, she's just full blown naked, like it's like a Coppertone ad or something like that, like great. But I'm like, so it's the second naked person I've seen in this episode. Like,
Much better than E Honda.
this is much better than E Honda. Like I don't have time for a thousand hands, 100 hand slaps. So, but they pan down in this movie theater. So there's a lot of people coming out that just apparently they're getting they just saw Hojoni. They just saw this movie, and there's a lot of people coming out of this movie that I don't think should be there because they're clearly in Japan, and these people are not okay. So there's like a guy with Rick Hunter's haircut coming out with a blonde woman, and okay, maybe you know whatever. But there's a couple. There's like a man and woman would both have red hair. They've got big red hair. I'm like, but then blonde guy. It's like count the people up, and half the people here have blonde or red hair. Like I don't like what's going on. What's going on here? What? Like, why are they there? What are they doing there? Like I'm not saying that you can't go there. I'm not saying that, but like, but I mean, I'm like that many people speak Japanese that they can go enjoy a monster movie.
I gotta wonder what the notes were on this. Like, it's Tokyo, but this is gonna be for Americans. So make sure they can fill themselves in this. Like, oh yeah, we'll just draw
Right.
American people.
There were a lot of guys that had Rick Hunter's haircut though, and that was actually pretty cool because like Rick Hunter has a really really good haircut. Like
Yeah. Well,
that
yeah.
was a real cool hairdo. Yeah.
He does have something for him because he was kind of terrible at the beginning. At the
You.
beginning, I said the beginning. He wasn't Admiral Rick Hunter until later. And this is about where the whole, Optimus Prime, like he tell Blaster tells him the plan. Optimus Prime, like, whoa, good job. You got a plan all by yourself, kind of
Right.
attitude. And they do the whole thing. They zap him. He's attracted to the radio tower. It zaps him to the giant Morningstar, 40K weapon that some orc was swinging on some planet. But they use a hydrofoil. Do you remember hydrofoils were like the thing? We were
Oh,
all going to use.
I thought I was going to go to work on a hydrofoil or a hovercraft for a long time.
Oh, they use a hydrofoil in Cobra hydrofoil like every other episode. Like, this is what's coming next. Now,
Boy.
hovercrafts had a little time there in the sun a bit. They're really not around anymore, really.
Right.
Hydrofoils, though, I don't know if they ever became like usable. I'm sure they were out.
Yeah, no, hydrofoils, they were a thing. Like the Navy had a hydrofoil for a long time, and actually in modern times, I don't know how often you guys get out of the house, but there's a
At all.
like this like surfboard thing you can use now called like a wing or something, like a surf wing or something like that. It's a surfboard with a giant hydrofoil thing, and you like stand on it, like pump it, and you go and
Huh.
you're up off the ground. Basically, it works just like a
No idea. Okay.
hydrofoil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I seem to remember like them showing off the hydrofoil in the Navy's hydrofoil, but I don't remember them ever using it anywhere at all. It's like, yeah, we made the SR-71 Blackbird, but we can't use it anywhere and it's all really ugly, so we're just gonna put it in this museum. That's kind of what I thought happened to the hydrofoil.
There was one, and I almost kind of hate that I know this because I ended up watching a documentary on it one time. But the Navy had one called the Tucum Carry is the name of it. It's a hydrofoil that they use for like reconnaissance or whatever.
Well, all I know from Sunbow shows, everyone had a hydrofoil and everyone used one. Everyone.
A lot of hydrofoils. But so, Crimson got real sad here though. This was kind of funny, but are we going to talk about how? Well, Crimson got like giant. Are we gonna talk about how like he? I think he's supposed to have like an electric tail, like a lightning bolt tail. But the way he's drawn, he's real flat. He's super flat, right? And so it just kind of hangs down between his legs, like he's got like, like he's not wearing any pants. Like maybe there's a third naked person in this episode. Maybe it's
And
Crimson.
so are you giving personification to the like electricity demon monster? Good
He's more
job.
like a gremlin.
It kind of is actually. But are we also gonna miss the point where I walked all over it, where Bumblebee can't watch him be killed? He's like, I can't watch. He turns his back, and they dissipate the electricity, and they're all sad about it. And Optimus Prime's like, okay, let's do this. This dude ripped through all the Autobots. He went through Teletran 1. He's like, I'm so kind of sad to see him go. I don't know.
We're all like, he's kind of cute.
Like, were you gonna keep him as a pet? Well, we'll get to that because at the end of the episode, we'll jump to pack, past all the hydrofoil talk. Yeah, we see finally the Chekhov's Kremzeek shows back up, jumps back out of blaster. He's like, oh hey, and then they chase it off into the sunset like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Right.
It just ends with him running into the city.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
like it's all
That
gonna
was it.
happen again.
Oh, here we
That
go,
was it.
guys.
There's no resolution in this episode. There's an
Yeah.
episode of the Andy Griffith Show where it ends, which is Andy and Barney trapped on top of the police cruiser with the bear trying to get to them, and that's the end of the episode.
Was
You
the end?
never find out how they get off the top of the car. This is kind of like that.
Your knowledge, encyclopedic knowledge of like old sitcoms like that kills me.
It's pretty amazing.
I
It's legitimately pretty amazing. Oh.
Wow, I don't remember that as I watched a lot of Andy Griffith when I was little.
I watched a lot of
Wow.
it as well. Yeah, Jehu, I wish you would have been here when we talked about the one with the pizza, because that was that's the one that sticks in my brain all the time, is the one where they ate pizza like it was like a novelty. Because I mean, like in the 50s, that was a novelty. It was like there weren't like now you can just I can walk like in any direction for 20 minutes, and I can get pizza like somewhere. I can get a pizza, and
Go
I
to a
mean,
gas station and get one.
yeah, exactly.
Man,
But
if
like.
you're in a small enough town, anything can be exotic. When I was a kid, the town I grew up in, McDonald's was exotic.
Oh,
Like,
see, where I live,
people would
we only had
bring
a
me a
Target.
Happy Meal from Lexington, which was 2.5 hours away.
And it made you
And I would
happy.
eat this cold, greasy meal and just be so happy that I had it.
It's
Yeah,
Happy
no,
Meal. but I mean, like, in the fifth, when Andy Griffith was a thing, I mean, there weren't chains at all.
Right, exactly.
You might live in a town where there's just no pizza, but like,
Where there's
Barney was so into this pizza, he was like, man, Andy, but he said mozzarella like it was like this like exotic delicacy, but the way he pronounced it mozzarella. He's like, Andy, that mozzarella.
To be
Probably
fair,
because he read
pizza
it,
is pretty
ZZ.
great.
Yeah.
What's that? P to be fair, pizza is pretty great.
Yeah.
Pizza is pretty great. I had pizza for dinner last night. It was just a frozen pizza, but it was like, man, this is good.
Man,
Like,
I
so yeah.
grilled some pizza and green egg recently. They're freaking great.
They're great. So yeah, he just gets away, and that was the end of this episode.
That's it.
Man, I'm just gonna come out and I'm gonna say that I did not like this episode in the least bit.
I'm shocked.
Like I thought it was silly, and it kind of played back into that thing that the Jehu that you were talking about with Mike Hill, where you're like, you know, every episode has like a the episode where we do this, the episode where we do this, and the episode where we do this. And this was like, hey, let's do the silly one. You know, let's do the silly one where everybody goes haywire all the time. And like, but like there was no resolution of it. Like a kid brain would have just like seeing that train would have just driven me out of my mind when I was a kid. Seeing the train like scrunch up and do the wave, you know, like, that would have driven me out of my mind. I'm like, that's not realistic at all. It's dumb. I would have been real mad. I don't know. I thought it was. I thought it was silly. And so a kid brain is gonna give it one. Dog poop with hair in it. Adult brain, really. I don't know. It wasn't boring. Like the silliness of it just really kind of got to me, and it really wasn't what I wanted out of it. I did really like the I fixated on the on the city scenes and the poster, and that's always cool. I like seeing that kind of stuff, but I don't think that it really gave me enough. Like adult brain's gonna have to get be pretty close and just I don't I like I like I don't know, man. Like adult brain's gonna give it one really bad racist stereotype Chinese star bought at a flea market out of five.
You know, something that is kind of topical. You know, I often think about why Transformers beat GoBots, because GoBots are were more affordable. A lot of them looked really cool. They got to the market first. But I think why Transformers won is because if you were like 9, Transformers kind of felt like it could be for someone who was 14.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Whereas GoBots felt like it's for babies. And the reason I say that's topical is because Jim Shooter died recently.
Well,
And he
yes.
kind of came up with the lore that I think make because it Marvel Comics were like that. When you were reading it and you were like 10 years old, like, man, this feels like it's for like a teenager who's like seen butts and stuff. And you know, and it's not, it's 100% for you, but it feels like that. So kid brain me hated this episode. I remember hating it because it felt like it was for babies. And I didn't want Transformers to be for babies. So definitely kid brain me would have given this a zero choo-choos. You know,
Choo-choo.
adult me is more forgiving of it. It's silly, and they try at some jokes. And you know, when you're an adult watching this, it isn't so much how good it is, but how much fun you have making fun of it. And I had a pretty good time making fun of it. So adult me would go higher and give this like, you know, 3 Optimus Primes being condescending to Blaster for saving the day.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's a reason why I hadn't watched this episode in years, and I've rewatched a lot of them in the meantime. But I remember thinking this is terrible. It was a lot more forgiving than I gave it credit for. I mean, I'm a sucker for like literary references and things, even though everyone thinks they've read in 1984. This is actually, you know, I caught that. I was like, Dylan, good. No. And then also the Crimson just being goofy and stuff, and just the dumb decisions in this episode that just made it fun. And Dr. Yoshikawa and his 3 minute long, you know, honored or honorable, that kind of stuff. It was not the worst episode, but it was pretty bad. So it's definitely no Girl Who Loved Power Glide, because that's possibly the worst one. So I mean, I gotta be honest. I'll give this thing like a two nakedy Hondas being bouncers of the arcade out of five. Could have been. So yeah, it could have been a lot worse. But dude,
You know, as a listener, do you know what my favorite episode of this podcast is?
God, what's that?
The Girl Who Loved Power Glide.
It's such a bad episode.
You guys were so demoralized. about that. It was so fun to listen to.
I haven't listened back to that one since we did it, so I may have to go back and. I'm going to say though also that in a continuity thing, that this is the second episode in a row, Jay, here, that you've worn a Guided by Voices t-shirt.
And, oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool because I'm a big fan of Guided by Voices, but I hate it because like you wore that Pollard Throws No Hitter one when we did Mike Hill, and I've always wanted that shirt, and then I was like well, Jehu has that shirt, so I was like, man, I need to get a GBV shirt because they were my favorite band for a while, and I was like, the one with the boxers is pretty cool, and now you're wearing the one with the boxers on it now, and I'm like, I can't buy those shirts because now I'm like,
he's already worn it.
Well, I mean, because now it's like I would wear that shirt to a show, but like most shows that I go to, Jehu's also probably going to show up.
Well, first of all, if I go to a show, I'm always going to be wearing a cowboy shirt. I'm always wearing my gimmick when I go to a show.
Okay, that's a good question.
But Ed, I just got to say, I was so bummed last week when you didn't notice my Bob Pollard Throws a No-Hitter t-shirt. I wore that just to flex at you.
I'm so glad you did. I didn't want to bring it up on the Mike Hill show because
you had worn Super Drag the week before, and I was like, oh, this dude's trying to step to me. So that's why I wore the Bob Pollard Throws a No-Hitter. So,
but see, it was funny is that we were the shirt that I bought that Super Drag shirt at, like we were at that show together. And that was that was a show where they played at that coffee house when they played, like, and there was like 15 people and like, yes, they were literally playing on the floor and we were standing face to face with
the
guys.
The old end of the line spot.
What was fun, at that show, I don't think I knew him then, but friend of the show, Nate, I don't want to say his last name because he's a high ranking special ops guy in the
Diggity
airport.
Dog.
You guys know Nate. Yeah. He bought that same shirt at that show. And then after that, he and I started hanging out. And there was one time where like he came to pick me up to go somewhere and we're both wearing that tan Super Drag shirt. And I'm like, well, I got to go back in and change because I'm not going to walk around wearing the same Super Drag t-shirt that you're wearing. So, I have some pictures from that show actually that I shot on a camera, a film camera. I should, I really should scan those. And, it's a good time capsule of like a bunch of us in like that was like 2001, I think.
Yeah.
Like Did you
have the hard bangs then?
No, I think I had my Jackie Chan Kung Fu mullet.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. I think what era this was.
Yeah.
In case anyone's listening to this and is confused, yeah, we did this episode out of order just because we had Mike Hill on our previous episode. Go back and listen to one and two of that. It was a fantastic show, lots of info. And next week, because we skipped around here, is going to be The Revenge of Bruticus, so much better.
I really think that honors the show to skip around episodes.
They did so much on the thing, so yeah, that's fine. But Mike Hill, what a great dude. What a class act all around. Yeah. Great guy, man. Like,
super nice. I asked him, and he's like, "Yeah, when do you want to do it?" I'm like, I didn't have to say please. He's like, "Yeah, man, I'll come back on the show." He had a good time. He enjoyed hanging out with us, and to see that dude laugh and smile about things with us, it made me feel good. You know?
Yeah. I regretted. I meant to, because he talked about working with Marvel Productions some, and I wanted to ask him if he had worked with Shooter at all, and I forgot to. But.
Well, if you're sticking around for season three, I'm sure I'm going to ask him again, man.
I'm sure I'll be here.
Okay. All right.
I'm booking up all your free time for podcasts. you're in high demand. All right, y'all. Have a great week, everyone. And if you do us a favor, like and follow the show. Also, check out Real Phonies, RELPHONIES. That's the other Jehu podcast that I'm aware of. So, y'all take it easy. Have a great week. And Ed, you want to take us out of here, man?
Roll out.
Thank you, sir. More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the Excellent Underground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the Excellent Underground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, This is really not even possible. So thanks for being here and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.